I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome back to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about crafting, fiber arts, and how awesome it is.
Yeah! I was sorry, I'm adjusting the soundboard.
That's okay, she did enough for both of you.
Was I supposed to go to?
No, usually you do. Usually woo. You both do the woohoo.
I didn't even, apparently. I did not
woohoo. A hearty hurrah to you, sir.
Apparently she did enough for both of you.
We have gotten 30 seconds in.
Oh, yes, we woo! Have. Before we launch into today's topics, let's talk about what we're working on. Drea, you ready?
Bananas.
Yeah, you are.
That's no, legit.
I'm making bananas.
It's literally bananas.
It is bananas.
It's totally bananas.
I have frogged the entire Bananasaurus and started anew.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Is this one smaller? It looks a little smaller.
Wow. It is smaller. I am using a smaller hook.
It looks like more sturdy.
It
now.
Looks better. It
looks
yes.
way more sturdy. Like the legs look sturdier. It's standing on its own and everything.
Yes, I am learning crochet as I go. One
That's
stitch
fair.
At a time.
I love it.
I'm just, you know, I'm really taking my time with it. So this is the Bananasaurus crochet pattern by Emerald Rose Crochet. I think I bought it on Etsy.
I think you did. I vaguely remember that.
I think I did. I'm using Big Twist Baby Bear. And I think the color is Sunshine.
That also sounds familiar.
Or Lemon Drops. I'm not sure.
I think it's Sunshine.
It's and Lemon Drops and
yellow.
Are you done?
No.
Yellow.
It is yellow.
It is bright yellow.
It is.
Fantastic.
It looks like a banana.
It's lovely.
Yes. But since we last recorded, I have also made several octopi.
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 The I have not. Are very cute.
They are so cute. And do you know what? Frank's mom has taken every single one of them.
Yeah, I love that for her.
I do too.
Where is she putting them?
I don't
knows?
Know.
Oh, you don't know where
I
she's
don't
putting
know.
Them.
I thought she was like putting
they are in her collection.
All right.
They are in her collection. And every time she sees me working on them, she's like, oh, is that for me?
Sure is.
I do like purple.
Oh, sure is.
Wow.
Love it.
So. If I finish one while I'm there, like, how can I say no?
Oh, yeah.
I know. She's just so cute. So Norma is getting all of the octopi right now.
Aww.
Tina?
I have zero zilch nada. I got nothing for you or me.
Nothing from nothing.
Nothing.
Something. You gotta have something.
I just felt like singing it. I thought it would make it more substantial of a segment.
Okay.
That's it.
Congratulations.
All right.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
It's good to take a load off your plate.
Jess.
I'm distracted by a cat in the box, but I am working still on the cat knit pullover by Andrea Rangel, and it's taking me forever, but I'm still trucking along. I've got almost a full cat. Almost a full cat.
That's
yeah.
pretty good.
I'm using... Critical Hit Dyes Sorcerer in the colorways Displacer and Embers.
It's getting there.
It is getting there.
What's going to happen when you get past the yoke?
Oh, God, who knows?
I know. The yoke has taken you this long. What's going to happen when you have the miles of blue stock in it?
No, well, no, I haven't split for sleeves yet, so I feel like that might make it go a little faster once I do that. So we'll see. We're getting there. It's slow, but it's happening.
Meg, what are you working on?
A whole lot of not much. I mean, I've been working, quote unquote, on Winter Light by Meg Gadsby. I really do like this pattern. It's quite simple. But I'm kind of maxing out at maybe half a row a day. And that's like the norm. When I have to take the kid to gymnastics, I generally get a little bit more done because I actually have time to just sit and do nothing else but knit. But haven't really been going as fast as I would like. But it's a decent pattern. It's a good pattern. The yarn that I'm using is Fiber Optics Cashmere Gradient in Texas Blue Bonnets. And it's a really the perfect pattern for it because this yarn does not need anything fancy to really shine. I love the way that it's moving the gradient along. I can't wait to get to the really bright blue part because that's my favorite part of the yarn, but that's going to come at the end. So, yeah, it's going. I'm just not spending as much time knitting as I previously had.
Same girl, same.
Me too, because I have picked up more hobbies.
Yeah.
Same.
Have I told you about my bread making yet?
No.
I've got a sourdough starter like sitting on my counter now.
Nice.
Man. Soon. There will be like
lots of sourdough.
You got to do sourdough pretzels.
I'm going to make sourdough bagels. I'm very excited. But yes, pretzels too.
Yeah.
She brought dinner rolls over for Easter. And my goddaughter probably ate half of them.
She did.
She had like a thing of butter next to her. And she's just like.
Yes.
Had rolls on rolls.
God.
All right. So in that vein of talking about other hobbies and things we've been doing, we've had kind of an unofficial hiatus for the last couple of weeks. Things have been happening. Probably noticed we were not releasing episodes. And as we've not discussed publicly, but we've definitely discussed privately, there's a lot going on right now in the United States and the rest of the world. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about how we are dealing with that, what we are doing, how we are coping, what we are thinking, and we're going to take it from there. So we've already started talking about Drea with her bread.
Bread.
What else is going on, Drea?
Crochet.
Crochet and bread. That sounds beautiful.
Isn't it? Mm. And I have also been playing... what is that noise?
Ice Maker.
Okay. And I have also been playing... They released for the PS5 an HD version of the Okami game.
Oh my God. That's a blast from the past.
I heard that was coming out, but I forgot when the date was.
Do you know what they're also doing? They're making a part two.
Ooh, like a sequel, because they did like a prequel at some point.
They're two.
That's exciting.
Oh,
that was a beautiful game.
That was so long ago.
I have also been enjoying quite a lot watching Frank play God of War.
Oh, which God one? Of War is just
the first one, and
first one's pretty decent.
Do you know who the voice actor is for Kratos? You should know this.
I should know this.
You
but
should
I'm...
know this because I pegged it immediately.
No, but you're going to tell us.
I am going to tell you. It is Christopher Judge.
That's right.
And you know what we're watching now?
Yes.
Stargate.
Nice.
Stargate.
Nice. Oh,
it is so good.
It is so good.
Like, oh, Christopher Judge. Man, what a treat. I heard it and I was like,
yes.
Teal'c?
No. Yes.
And Frank was like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's so, okay. Well, Frank, now you're going to know.
I know.
Here's the entire lore of Stargate.
Nope. Didn't even do that. I was like, man, do you know what you got to do? You got to turn that game off because, bam, movie.
Yeah.
You got to get through the movie.
You got to get through the movie first because it sets everything up. And then you can watch the series.
The series,
yes. That's how it goes. And the movie isn't that bad, even though the actors are different.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. But the series is better.
Richard Dean Anderson was a glow up.
Yeah.
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 My dad and I only watched the series. We didn't start with the movie at all. We started with the series and we watched it all the way through. I cried and laughed with my dad through that whole series.
I had no idea that your dad loved Stargate.
My dad was obsessed with Stargate. Listen, the nerdiness didn't come out of nowhere, okay? It definitely wasn't my mom. It was my dad.
I feel like I missed out on so many nerd conversations with your father.
Oh, yeah. My dad watched like every spinoff, every single, like he watched more than I did. I watched the original series with him, but there were like spinoffs that like I would come into the den and he'd be like, well, I'm like, is that Stargate? And he's like, no, this is Stargate
Atlantis.
Yeah. And yes. I was like, oh, okay.
I actually never got into Atlantis.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, my dad did.
I've seen all of OT Stargate A+. And you listeners should also watch Stargate.
Now that we've
it is absolutely A+.
Now that we've nerded out about Stargate,
so sorry. But those are like all of my new things that I'm very much into right now.
Fantastic!
I am making sourdough. I'm making rolls on rolls. Actually, what's really good is like the focaccia bread.
Mm.
I Frank needs to stop asking me to make the cinnamon roll focaccia because I want to make other stuff. And I have like this strawberry one lined up. And man, he's in for a treat if he stops asking for cinnamon rolls.
He's got to suspend his, what's the word I'm looking for here? I was going to say suspend disbelief, and that's incorrect.
No, he needs to broaden his horizon.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. It's tough, though. Like, if you you can go to the same restaurant, and you're like, I could order something new, or I could order this thing that I love and that I know I'm going to like.
You mean,
it's really
like,
hard.
Every time I go to Sabadee and I get Pad Woon Sen because
pretty
it's,
much.
Like, the best.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Yeah.
It is the
best. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to branch out because you're like, I know this other thing could be good, but I know this thing is really good.
Exactly.
So... yeah, it's hard.
The internet's been a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't it, though?
Yeah. And every time I hear of another closure, you know, with Yarn Saver, I enjoy getting, like, talking with businesses, helping them out when they want to liquidate, but I don't want to see it as often as I do. Mm. There's a lot of people closing down.
There are.
It's just... turned into an expensive mess.
Well, there's not a lot of what's the word? Stability right now.
No.
There's not a lot of stability.
Like if you were kind of, you know, making ends meet type of thing and then this all went down, I just every time I get, you know, a contact with that, I always feel like I feel like it's a duty on my part cuz like I want to help, you know, I want them to get something back for what they got, but it's not something I enjoy seeing a lot of.
Well, we don't often think of like knitting, crochet, crafting, et cetera, as like a luxury hobby. But when push comes to shove, a lot of times, especially nowadays, it is. Like most of us are not doing knitting or crocheting. You know, we're not making things for survival. And in times of uncertainty, luxuries are the first things to go. That's when people start to... kind of pare down their shopping, pare down their hobbies. And that's, I think that's really is causing the entire crafting world to be upheaved. And it's really unfortunate.
You know, for me, I've actually noticed I'm sewing more cause I'm mending more.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I'm knitting, it's to create like patches and stuff. Like I'm literally making like little patches right now to go on the knees of a pair of jeans that I really love, but the holes have gotten so ridiculously big and I look like a 13-year-old teenager in 2006 who's about to talk about how her life is terrible and, you know, have My Chemical Romance in the background. So I don't want to do that as a 37-year-old, so I want to patch up the holes. But the jeans are really comfortable. Anyway.
I've actually been doing a lot of patches on the lady sweaters at work.
Oh, yeah.
Like picking up the stitches and mm-hmm. creating...
yeah,
new stitches there, yep. Which is fun, but difficult sometimes.
Well, I feel good about it when I like fix something because like I can wear it again or use it again. But it's definitely, yeah, like you said, it's not this like, oh, I'm going to make a luxurious shawl or something. Like, no, I need to do practical stuff right now
because
that's what we're down to. But
yeah. I love how I'm sitting here agreeing with you as I'm making a bananasaurus.
You know, no, your bananasaurus is so necessary right now. It's not even funny.
Well, and that's, I don't think it's like the crafting itself that is a luxury, but the buying of crafting materials is the luxury.
Yep.
Yes. And I think a lot of us recognize that we do have substantial stashes.
Not anymore. You should see my stash.
You've downsized a lot.
No, I think I'm down to about a quarter of what I had
before.
Yeah, no, like I'm... and you got, and if you don't know, like my stash was literally, it was a substantial amount for a single person. But at this point, I can fit it into like a 5x3 cubby.
Good for you.
And it's not packed.
Good for you.
I actually have room to put like my project bags and like a couple of sets that I picked up.
Allow the yarn to aerate.
Yeah, like not like how I had it before where it was like, where is it? I don't know. You have to look behind the 20 pounds in front of it. but it's, yeah. No, I definitely, yeah, it's not. Definitely not as big as it used to be. And that's between selling and also just using. I've been using a lot too, so.
So it is. It's you know, I think it, I mean, we've definitely downgraded. We made an announcement with Critical Hit about 2 months ago that we were going to stop using I think more than half of our bases. Simply because, well, we don't know what's going to happen with the tariffs. We don't even know what's happening now. I mean, we're kind of hovering and hedging our bets, but certain bases were not lucrative. People were not buying them. So and it was also really hard for us to keep up with trying to, you know, have everything on 13 multiple, different bases. Yeah. A lot of yarn.
Yeah, that's a lot of bases.
So, I mean, we downsized for that reason. But there's also been a lot of, like, apprehension about, you know, how is this going to affect us? All of our bases are, you know, come from overseas. So how is this going to affect business? And I think a lot of other businesses are in the same boat.
Yeah, at least when I'm getting the small companies that I have talked to, you know, small batch dyers and stuff like that, it's a lot of that. It's, you know, my base is overseas. My dyes are from overseas. I can't afford to bring them in anymore, and I just can't do it anymore. And
some of it's just in shipping now, too.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're raising, you have to raise it. Well, you also get to a point where it's like the market's not going to stand for it. Like if to sell something, you have to raise the price to a point where people are just not going to buy it. It's not a business model that can hold.
Well, it's hard to buy things when you can't afford them.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, that your customer base can't, if your customer base can't afford it, but also if you can't afford to create the product without spending so much money that it's cost prohibitive to make it, it gets really tough.
I had one of those dyers show me an inventory sheet, and the price of the base didn't really change that much. But then she showed me the tariff that got applied to it. Mm-hmm. Say it was $2, the tariff was like $3.50.
Yeah. So you're paying more in tariffs than you're paying for
the
actual product.
Was like, it's like for her, she's like, if I raise my price to cover this tariff, people are going to say my yarn's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm like,
well, and that's
I don't know.
The thing. It's like, it doesn't matter like how beautiful your yarn is. There's market price. There's what people will afford. It's the same way, like if say you're going to a seafood restaurant and you want to have a good lobster. Yeah. Like there's a certain point that you can say market price for lobster, but there's a certain point where people are going to be like, okay, no, I don't want it that badly. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is with anything. Mm-hmm. Like if it gets to the point where it's cost prohibitive, like it's costing you so much money to make it and people are not buying it.
Yeah.
So the market cannot hold. This is an economics podcast now.
Correct.
Which is terrible because let me tell you, that was my lowest score on my Praxis 2.
Well, I'm going to wait for all the incoming comments. I'm like, you guys don't know anything
about absolutely.
Economics.
No, I don't. Like, that is
the
thing.
You're correct.
I only passed the Praxis because I had stellar grades in U.S. world and government, but my economic score was dismal. I can hear my dad now just looking at me with so much shame.
Listen, we are only mentioning economics to the point that we have actually experienced.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. This is, absolutely not. Disclaimer here.
Yeah, this is just what
the number of times my kids have asked me about tariffs, and I'm like, oh, dear God, please make sure I'm not messing this one up because economics, and it's not my strong suit.
On a fortunate side, Yarn Saver doesn't get affected by tariffs because I don't import anything. Everything's domestic. But on a negative side, when, you know, that it's hard to price items too because the cost now, I might not have to buy, you know, deal with tariffs, but everything else went up.
Yeah. Right.
My electricity went up. I joined a collective. It was like a fiber business collective. And she had a thread on there and she was asking us what are like the invisible costs that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, electricity, the cost of Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
True though. You know, like people don't think about that because like they're like, oh yeah, you just take a picture of the yarn and throw it up. I'm like, no, I have to like power my freezers.
What, your mailer bags?
The labels,
the printer ink. Like people don't realize the amount of money that goes into running a small business. And
we
all
spend
like,
more water on.
Oh God, our water bill.
Do.
Yeah.
The Ziploc bags though, I don't think you quite understand. No, in my business, I need so many because I have to separate fibers and on top of separating fibers, I have to, before it's like officially assessed, I'm separating people's collections so that, you know, nobody gets mixed up. And Do I like using that much plastic? No, but it's a cleanliness thing. Like if somebody's compromised, I don't want it to compromise all the other fibers that I've got going on.
Right.
So I look at it as a health kind of like, I'm just trying to keep things clean. But I was like, okay, I need to go get more gallon Ziplocs. Right. And I, you know, man, I was like, where do I buy these things? And then it's like, I'm sitting there going, I'm pricing Ziploc bags. Like I didn't used to because it was like relatively the same. It was relative, like it was maybe 50 cents difference. But now it's like, okay, like if I go over here, it's going to be, you know, like this much and I'll save this much off the top when I get this many. And you know, it's,
yeah. You know,
I'm definitely being a lot more conscientious. I can't say that word. Sorry.
Conscientious.
That. Of the smaller thing. Like, I was always about the bigger things. But now it's like, okay, the electricity went up like $200. So now I have to like cut from somewhere. Where am I going to cut so that I don't have to like necessarily raise prices or which I absolutely never want to do is reduce the amount of valuation I give when I'm paying out to people. So far my, you know, the method works, but like if I can't get to a point where me, like, you know, I have a formula showing me how much it costs me to get this skein up to market. And when that exceeds what I'm making off of it, it's, you know what I mean? It's not going to end up being worth it.
And I think a lot of people are making a lot of hard choices, and we're seeing the results of that. We're seeing it on social media as different companies are either taking hiatuses or closing or changing their business models because the market is unstable.
So. I had some collab shut down on me that I had from influencer marketing that I don't do. Like, I don't do it. Like, that's not my main source of income, but it was a nice side cash, right? No, I got like probably three of the ones that I was dealing with paused our campaigns because they don't, not that they don't like me, they just can't afford to pay out influencers right now. You know, like it's affecting. And then, like, you know, you see these little changes here and there. And, you know, if you don't have, like I said, if you were already skirting the line of being profitable, like it can really get you to a point where you're shutting down. Right. And that sucks. And that really sucks.
Yeah, it is hard. It's really hard.
Also, you know, in general, besides my wallet, you know, my general well-being is great. I'm probably going to be on 18 lists. But other than that, you know, life's grand. I check a lot of boxes, folks. And I don't care about talking about it because I already know that I'm on 20 lists. So it's okay.
I love how the number just like exponentially grows.
Actually,
every time
every
you
minute,
list a number.
Yeah, every that minute that we talk, there's another list being generated. And it's most likely something about being like some kind of different. And I fit right in.
I mean,
it's like, okay. I mean,
I feel like this is not how you want to find your people.
No, not really. But, you know, if you want to, hey, join the club, baby. No. But I've seen it even with, like, you know, doing like different outside of like fiber stuff. I work with NAMI and I do presentations in your own voice to like talk about in our own voice to talk about like what people with mental health challenges deal with, and just like without being revealing any kind of privacy, but we had like probably a dozen or so people doing it, and it is a quarter or maybe even half of what we were doing because people dropped.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I think you're going to see a lot of that the next few years of people who are afraid or
definitely
more
tenuous positions,
right?
Or you're gonna see people pulling back, or
which is unfortunate.
It is. Well, the algorithms are changing too on that front too. It's kind of getting harder. You're seeing more like more things mentioned, more things getting kind of like falling off of the algorithms. Like I notice a bunch of people I follow, a lot of their content doesn't show up on any of like my For You's or anything like that, whatever, like on my Instagram feed, on anything like that. I kind of have to go onto their page and find it. And it's like, they're kind of being pushed off to the side, that or they're using less tags to keep themselves kind of out. And I think you're going to see a bit more of that as well. So if you haven't seen stuff from your content creator for a while, maybe check their page because they might actually be posting.
Yeah, I can understand posting less, though. Mm-hmm. I think my knee-jerk reaction when everything happened was like, I need to delete everything and I need to like protect myself and my family. And same. I don't think there's anything wrong with having that as a knee-jerk reaction. You know, all of us here identify as queer. All of us are some kind of neurodiverse. So I don't think like we want to necessarily like, you know, I think it's hard to like to sit here and just be like, oh, it'll be fine. Cause like, we're here, guys, we're here. And we have lovely things going on that are making that, more and more difficult to be in those categories. But, I just think, in my boat anyway, I went from knee jerk reaction of, I don't want to, you know, I want to be as quiet as possible to, I don't want to be quiet anymore. I was very much on the quiet boat. I was. And I, but, you know, I saw, I was seeing some folks that are less privileged than I am. And I say that in a sense of like, I'm a white woman and I present in a heterosexual relationship. And there are certain privileges that come with that. And I was seeing people in, not in that position who were still speaking out. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm not speaking out, even though I feel like I could be probably in a better position or better protected, I'm only just opening up people in less of a position to be more ostracized and targeted. So, nope, come on down. I'm available to this. No, but like, it's crap, guys. It's so crap. The amount of stuff that I'm doing in the background to make sure that I feel safe or that my family feels safe is ridiculous. Steps that I never thought I would need to take. Things that I never thought about because I had, you know, this quote unquote safety of like, oh, we live in a country that respects laws and stuff. And yes, we don't do that anymore.
We used to.
But yeah, I just don't. And this is, and it might sound political to you, but like, it's, there's no politics when we're talking about like just being a person. I don't give a hoot about. I don't give a hoot about what, quote unquote, side you're on. But I think if everyone realizes there's no more sides anymore, we just need to like, we need to all come together as like a community and we all need to support each other because I'll tell you what,
people are stressed.
Yeah. And I think being quiet stressed is the worst kind of stress.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's
100%.
The worst.
It is.
So it's the worst. It doesn't do anything for you. Your stress is, that stress hormone goes through your body. The cortisol just goes through your body and destroys you in more ways than one. Is there an easy way to make it go away? No, not unless drastic things happen. But I think, you know, I don't know. I'm talking a lot. I just don't. I've been so frustrated just feeling like I'm, you know, initially in the beginning when everything started to happen after this election, just like, okay, well, you know, I got to delete everything off here because it identified me in these groups and I got to delete this and I have to hide that and I have to take this down. And no, nope. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going to shrink myself so everybody else feels comfortable.
Well, I think too, there's something to be said for like, I don't know. I've always been pretty vocal about my political leanings. I'm a government teacher. Like I keep it out of the classroom, like how I feel personally, although my kids can probably guess. But at the same time, like, I don't think any of the things that I say are super radical. Like, if you're going to be mad at me for saying that all people deserve respect, all people deserve rights, you know, regardless of who they are, their backgrounds, that's on you. Like, you can be mad about that and that's fine, but I don't personally believe what I'm saying is
radical.
That radical. I don't believe what I'm saying is bad. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we grew up being told to respect everybody else.
Yeah, right. You know? The golden rule.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then
that's out the door now. It's a different type of golden
correct.
Rule.
Correct. And yeah. I know it sounds cliche. I've seen it like a million times on every single social media platform, but the I'd rather be ostracized for who I include than included for who I exclude. Part of my job is making sure that everybody that walks through my door feels included, feels accepted, feels wanted, regardless of who they are, what they look like, how they act. And I try to do that in all walks of life. So if someone's going to be mad at me for that or say that I'm being political or I'm being divisive, I mean, okay, that's on you. Like, I can't change
how
that.
How dare you be nice to people?
I can't change that.
Did you just say you want to care about everybody? How dare you? God. That's against law B67. And in the clause, we should hate people that don't fit this paradigm exactly.
No, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like it is. It's God. Like I don't know. I don't find that divisive.
No, it's not.
And that's your, you know, again, it's the whole idea of like, you know, we all love the idea that we must be inclusive, we must be kind, but then it's like, but not to those people, but not to that person.
But not put it in practice.
But not that. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what Drea said before. Like, we were not raised that way. Yeah. like we babies of the 80s and probably the 90s and probably beyond, we were all taught that, you know, love everybody, be nice to everybody, regardless of who they are. But to be told that, and then, you know, all of a sudden now we're adults and it's like you're hearing from other people, well, not like that, but not those people, but those people don't count. And no, you know, it's no.
Guys, I just want to exist.
Like, the worst part is like the worst thing I'm ever going to do in my life, honestly, is, you know, if I don't take my meds, is I will not be able to find anything. I will forget what I was doing about 10 minutes ago. I'll also probably make a lot of doom piles. Also,
I already do all those piles. Things.
Like, long story short, it will all not affect anybody else. It will probably help the economy because I will randomly buy stuff and then forget that I bought it and then buy it again. Yeah, it's not going to, I guess my point being, it's not going to affect anyone else. It's going to make my life horrid, but it's not going to affect anybody else.
Right.
So,
but that's a really good point.
You know, it's not. It's just going to make my life suck.
Right. It's like, you're not going to be making other people. Other things harder for society or government on a whole.
I mean, you might upset your job here or there if you forget to do something.
But again, these are personal. Yeah, these are personal issues.
Again,
like,
it's not affecting anybody else. Yeah. Like, that would be my job performance. That would be, you know.
Right. It's not affecting society at large.
Exactly. It is. Right.
The point is, I'm not going to affect you. So, like, why do you care?
I don't think there's a lot. There's a lot there about,
why,
you know.
Why do you care?
Yeah. Why do you?
You know, if I happen to marry Patricia instead of Patrick, why do you care? Why do you care?
You know, I'm just saying better health care would take care of a lot of this.
Let's not get crazy.
Listen, we're already off our rockers, okay? We've probably ended. I think now I'm on 53 lists, if we're being honest.
Tina, are you just doubling it every time we bring it up?
Yeah.
I feel like you
are.
It's
going to be 106. Yeah. You wait.
Well, so in the vein of
collecting them like Pokemon.
I went through a similar. I kind of went through like back and forth at the beginning of the year because, you know, my job is literally to teach government. I mean, that's 4 out of my 5 classes are government classes.
That's a list.
Well, no. And then because it is, you're like, I have to teach authentically. Like, I have to teach, you know, what is truth.
That's a sub list of the original list.
But then, you know, the whole like, you know, report teachers that are teaching things that shouldn't be taught. You know, and I'm like, what's the standard of what should and shouldn't be taught?
Right. Yeah.
And that was really scary. But I think there is a lot to be said of like, I wasn't sure how to handle it. And basically what I do at the beginning of every class now is we talk about current events. I have the kids bring up current events. But I let them kind of draw their own conclusions. Like I've always said from the start, I'm not here to tell you what to think. I'm here to present the facts, the material, or to show you where to get the facts. And draw your own conclusions. My goal is always when kids leave my class at the end of the year that they know why they believe the way they do, and I'm not here to tell them what that is.
That's the best
I way just, I always tell them my one answer that I don't want to hear from you is, I don't know, that's just how my parents vote. Like, there's nothing wrong with voting the same way your parents vote. Like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I want them to know why. Exactly. And I don't care how, you know, which way that is. I don't care
what your why is.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as you know
but what it is. I do want you to know your why. And I want you to understand that, like, we can't invent facts to suit our story. Like, the goal is, if you can't find facts to back up your stance, you should probably start thinking about another stance. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. So, and it took me a lot of time and a lot of talking to my colleagues to come to that conclusion that, like, my presenting the facts or presenting them with the materials to find the facts, I'm not doing anything wrong. And if I don't do that, I'm doing a bigger disservice to them in the long run. That I need to teach them how to find good evidence and to encourage them.
Teaching critical thinking.
Exactly.
Skills.
And encourage them that if you can't find the evidence, then that means you got to find a new hypothesis. Stop it.
Stop putting me on lists.
You just said that you were critical thinking. I had to put you on. There's a list for that.
I didn't say God. I was doing it.
That's like, get me off that list. The name of the episode. There's a list for that.
There's a list for that.
There's a list for that.
In small print or a sub list.
There's a list for that. But yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I've had a lot of sleepless nights. I had a complete crash out last week, as the kids say. I cannot make things true that are not true. But in the vein of Drea with her bread, I've been learning Italian. That's been my hobby. That's my hobby
right now.
Well, I found out two months ago. ciao, come sta?
Nice.
Did that get added to your personal list?
Absolutely. I have been learning Spanish.
Oh, are you? Nice. I thought you were doing German.
Senior Greg.
I was learning German for a little bit, but that was very hard. So
German is tough.
I am learning Spanish through Senor Greg on Instagram.
Oh, beautiful.
Let me tell you, Senor Greg is a blue puppet. He teaches you Spanish phrases every single day.
Magical.
And you know what? A plus.
I thought you didn't like puppets.
Do you know what this one is? Like, what a banger. It is.
The puppets are a banger.
You know what? We're going to leave that right there. We're not. No.
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 So he says the phrase in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says it again. But he has this ruler in his hand. And he slaps each word as he says it. It's very forceful. It's hilarious. And it helps, like, keep things in my head.
Beautiful.
I like to go up to Frank and very aggressively say, Besame! Which means kiss me.
Yes, I know. I do remember. I did make it to Spanish 5.
So
poorly.
So you're learning Spanish with a German accent. Got it.
I am learning aggressive Spanish.
Well, since you've all been learning different languages that are not English, you're all in lists with me. So congratulations. It's another list.
Amazing.
Frank's mom thinks it's hilarious.
I bet she does.
She does.
It is hilarious.
She's like, you know more Spanish than Frankie does.
That's actually. But to be fair, Patrick probably is more comfortable speaking Portuguese than I am.
Oh, there you go.
He will look at me and go, what did they say? And then I'll be like, da 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 da. And he'll be like, oh, okay. Hola. Like, he starts going. He won't have half the words, but he will look at me as a translator just to tell him what they meant so that he could try to say something back.
I've been using Coffee Break Italian, which is it's a podcast, and I listen to them, and they're very good about not only just repeating, because I hate Duolingo has been pissing me off because they don't explain why I'm wrong. They're just like, you're wrong. and it took me weeks to figure things out that on Coffee Break Italian, they're just like, oh, you use A for this and N for this. And I'm like, that makes so much more sense. But yeah, I found out a month ago that I qualified for Italian citizenship, but now I don't anymore because the entire Italian government is
changing stuff,
working that out. So I no longer qualify.
It all happened in the course of a week.
It literally happened in the course of a week.
Congratulations.
I was really excited. Like, I even was like getting my papers ready to file and everything, and then they're like, just kidding, new laws that are being challenged. So we'll see if that actually goes through or not. But I was like, you know what? I'm really enjoying learning Italian, so I'm gonna keep doing that. It's fun. I'm having a good time.
And it connects you to your family.
It really does. I found out a lot of things about my extended family that I didn't know, and it was exciting. So I'm having a good time, and I'm like, you know what? If nothing else comes of this, I'm learning Italian. I'm having a good time doing it. So,
well, I just sent you in our chat the link to El Señor Greg.
Oh, thank God.
I had his name wrong before. It is El Señor Greg.
Well, of course it's. What did you say it was? Mr. Greg?
It was just Señor Greg.
Why is El Señor Greg?
The Mr. Greg.
The Mr. Greg.
Listen, there can be only one. There can be only one puppet that teaches you Spanish.
Listen, in Portuguese, we leave off half the words, so I don't understand why there's more words when you could just say Señor Greg.
Listen, if you're Portuguese,
if you're Portuguese, you understood that.
If you too would like to learn Spanish from El Señor Greg, just look him up. It will be on the blog.
Oh my God, it is a puppet.
It is a puppet. I told you.
Oh my God.
See, I just watch horror Let's Plays, and they're really fun. And then I found, because I don't have time to play games, but, you know, I live vicariously through watching them happen while I do laundry and stuff. And so I found out a whole bunch of dude bros really hated this new game called South of Midnight. So I was like, well, I got to check that out because it's probably awesome. And it is awesome. It's beautiful. I need to download the music because it's fantastic. And so I'm on, I don't know, the chapter with the giant alligator right now the guy is playing. And I have
that
watch
chapter.
More of it. Yeah, there's a giant alligator. No, it's really, it's like
is
about
that
Southern.
Is that going to get her on a list?
Probably, because people hate it because the lead character is a black woman and she's amazing. And it's about Southern folktales.
And just
I'm reporting you to the list right now.
Just to confirm, you enjoy this?
I do enjoy
list
this.
It up. Yep,
no, yep, it's amazing. Yes. No, the music is great. I got to download
it. I was going to say they were going to be on a list anyway because they said alligator instead of crocodile.
No.
So
folk tales are amazing.
I was gonna say, it's when dude
like,
bros don't like it. That
it
means
actually
clearly.
Made me look up more of these folk tales because I knew about some of them, but not all of them. And they did a spin on them, obviously, for the game. But they are really cool, and so I'm enjoying that, and I'm watching that now.
Find your joy.
I actually am considering because it looks like they have a story mode, which is cool because I definitely have no time to be doing hard modes on things, but. I am considering actually because you can get it on PC because I think it was mainly for Xbox, but which I do not have, but I do have a PC. So I'm like, maybe when I have some time, I will buy this game because it looks cool. And if there's a story mode, I might actually be able to get through it.
Frank is playing God of War on story mode.
See, look,
what I want to say is there's no neurodiversity at this table. Not a single person here. We are all neurotypical. We did not do anything. Nobody went off trail once, including myself.
Oh, I love hiking, though.
I went off trail like twice last weekend.
I did. I went off trail like 90 times. I'm just laughing because like that's that we do all these side quests and then we get back to it.
I climbed a rock.
As I said.
Jess did go hiking and she climbed something and we were all very proud.
Yeah. I only fell down once.
Okay, but the size of the rock, because that depends on the rock list.
My ankle said no.
Comparative to Dwayne the Rock Johnson, how big was the rock you climbed?
Wait, what?
So it was
a lot
a bunch
bigger than Dwayne
of
the
little
rock.
Rocks that made up like a bigger rock than Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
it had a good view.
It did have a good view.
It sounds like it had a good vibe too.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
It was nice.
Okay.
Nope, we're gonna put that down.
I just wanted to see.
Nope, we're just gonna let that one sit.
I wanted to see.
We're gonna let that one
chart.
Cook. Nope, you're gonna let that one cook, 100%.
Well, now that we're on 347 lists,
man, you like wow. We're gonna
end at 690 something.
Yeah, in the last 94. 2 microseconds, we doubled that.
Oh God!
Is this our combined list?
Wait a second. Maybe that is actually the best point of action: is to make so many lists that they can't keep up with all the lists.
It'll blow up the computer.
Oh,
we will short circuit.
We gotta make more lists, but like really obnoxious lists. Like
it'll be like the Garden Venture Brothers. You know, the one that they short circuit. By saying weird stuff.
Oh yeah, because he's a robot and he's only like programmed to say so many things. So if you start saying gibberish, it just falls apart. Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much. Keep it weird, folks. Keep it weird.
Is this a yarn podcast?
Yeah.
Can we go back to tariffs?
Yeah, keep being yarns. No, I don't want to go back to tariffs.
God, talk about that tariffs. Enough economics for one
no,
day.
No, but yeah. Keep being your weird yarny selves.
Yeah.
Be your weird yarny selves.
Do what makes you happy. If it's not yarn right now, that's cool.
And you if you don't feel like you're in a safe predicament right now, just know that we're here to be a little safe haven.
We are here for you in these trying times.
Right here in our little stash. No, that sounds druggy. But
oh my god, well, you are going to have to take a hatchet to this episode.
Like, I honestly might do a voiceover that's like,
due to the prolific nature of this episode, we had to modify and edit in order to protect the identities and the safety of the cast members.
Put it all through like a voice modifier.
Like, you know, like the Law and Order voice?
Dun, 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 dun.
These are our stories.
These are our stories.
Dun, dun.
Gung, gung. All right. And that's all we have for this episode. Shout out to our sponsor, as always, Jimmy Beans Wool at jimmybeanswool.com.
They got great stuff.
They do have real good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I actually just ordered their, what's it? They had like an Easter bundle. Like it was a three pairing.
The bunny bag.
Oh, yes.
One of those.
And I got the carrot cake. Oh, it's so pretty.
That looked really good.
Really it did. Is so pretty.
God, I love carrot cake now.
It's just, it's like an orange tonal and a green tonal and like a whitish tonal.
Love it.
Love that.
For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, be sure to check out our website at pardonmystash.com. And be sure to tune in next time for more fun friends and fiber at Pardon My Stash.